It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
It's that time of year, spring in the South.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here and checking out the series, the episode. I do hope you hit that subscribe button. I put out three new interviews every single week, new and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. A few recent episodes have included Nick Haxum from 311, Jeff Ament from Pearl Jam, Louise Post from Veruca Salt. I talked with actor Jason Scott Lee and the cast of Outlander. Esty Hyam was on here recently. We also had country star Carly Pierce. Some of the cast from the movie Extraction 2, Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age, Dave Davies of the Kinks, Stone Gossard of Pearl Jam, the band Inhaler, and so much more. That's just a few of the recent episodes that you can find on the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Lucinda Williams. It's always great to have her on the show, and it's great to have her back with a brand new album called Stories from Her Rock and Roll Hearts. Which we're going to be getting into. She'll discuss how the collection's born out of, surviving a tornado and the pandemic and having a stroke, and reflect on her musical journey, like her deep-rooted connection to Bob Dylan's Highway 61 Revisited and the really profound impact of the late Tom Petty that had on her her life and career. Now, the album itself, it's a guest-heavy record, and it includes a collaboration with Bruce Springsteen. So we're definitely going to get into that. It's also got a song inspired by The Outsiders, and there's so much more in this. And it's such a fun conversation, so let's jump right into it. We're talking about Stories from a Rock and Roll Hearts. It's Kyle Meredith with Lucinda Williams.
Hi.
It's great to see you, and with so much going on, there's a brand new album, Stories from a Rock and Roll Heart. You've got the biography, Don't Tell Anybody the Secrets I Told You. Does it feel like this is all happening all? I mean, it is happening all at once. Does it feel a little bit more elevated than usual?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. I've been doing a lot of press lately, you know, with the two different things coming out. So I've been doing a string of Zoom interviews this week with quite a few European ones.
Well, it's the convenience of Zoom. I mean, you don't even have to travel for the interviews. Yeah.
I mean, I like it. I like the Zoom thing. So, you know, maybe some people might not, but it's just so convenient. I don't have to get all fixed up that much, you know.
Well, it is great to have you in this virtual space. And with both of these projects, maybe the obvious place to start, you know, first off, I love this record. It's so much fun to listen to. Yeah, and the songs are so great.
Wow, thank you.
Does the record come sort of spawned from doing the biography? Because, I mean, it feels like a concept album in that way. Does one follow the other in that sense?
That's interesting that you saw it like that. Because it wasn't intentional, but I think it's a good thing to have them kind of connected in that way. But, you know, I think it was just a coincidence that the songs are kind of connected to the...
I mean, because it seems very biographical. I mean, yeah, with the way the record sort of looks back at this lifestyle and career choice that you've done.
Right. Well, I think the thread running through the album, to me, seems like, you know, it's kind of about surviving and, you know, being a warrior, which is what I've been going through. A lot of us have, you know, because of the... Well, here's what we had going on. I'm trying to remember the order, but it was almost biblical, you know, because we had a tornado come through Nashville and the pandemic, and I had my stroke. So that was a lot.
And you got to be a warrior if you're going to come out the other side of that and still.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's interesting. So even if they're not intentionally kind of created in that way, the way that the record does play out, because the way these songs seem to tell more of the story, not just of being a survivor, but of what rock and roll means to you and the choice of this career path. I don't know. Let me see. Hopefully this isn't too heady of a question, but I'm going to try this anyway.
Try me.
Yeah. But, you know, as you look back in the book with these songs, what has it meant to choose this path as the rock and roll? Because this isn't made for everybody. It's not for the weak of heart, right?
Yeah. You mean rock and roll as opposed to other styles?
Yeah. I mean, not other styles, but other jobs. I mean, you chose to be a musician, you know, and this feels like, I mean, do you have that moment to look back and say, this is what it means that I've done this?
Yeah. You know, when you're in it doing it, you're not thinking about all that consciously necessarily all the time, you know, but when someone asks, like you're asking me right now, you mean, what it was your question directed at? Do I ever ask myself why I decided to do this? Or
it's not, do you ever ask yourself, but now that we're here, you know, now that you've had this time of reflection, you know, I guess I'm asking specifically, what has it meant to be a musician for your whole life? Because you could have chosen other paths. I mean, do you ever think about, you know, with the sliding door scenario, if it had gone another way?
Sometimes, yeah. But I don't know, you know, I've often thought that if I wasn't able to play music and write songs and do what I do, that I don't know what I would have done, because I didn't have any other training. You know, I mean, I don't have any other skills, really. I never learned a tie. Like when I was trying to get day jobs, when I first started playing music and stuff, you know, that was hard because I wasn't able to get just any job, you know, other than working in an office, answering the phone or filing or something, because I couldn't type. So, well, typing seems to be something that it comes in pretty handy, you know, when you're looking for certain jobs.
Although nowadays, everything you can do voice activated too. So that even typing eventually would go the way of like cursive writing, you know, that's going to.
Yeah, right.
So I guess when I hear, like, I'm, you know, it's always the way you mean for a song versus the way your audience or a listener will hear the song, because that is, so that is how I hear this record. I hear this record in the context of, you know, I mean, it's called Stories from a Rock and Roll Hearts. It sort of says it right there. But then you have tracks like Last Call for the Truth or Jukebox. And to me, that paints the other side. Like, you can be a career musician, but be prepared be prepared for the loneliness.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you're still a regular person doing regular things. It's kind of funny. I've been singing a lot, doing the shows we've been doing, I've been performing the new songs more. And I told my audience a couple of times, I said, I realized as I was doing more of the new songs, there are a lot of drinking songs on this album, you know. And I told my audience that recently, and I said, well, and then I said, if George Jones can do it, I guess I can too, you know. But yeah, and that was just kind of a coincidence, but I was kind of worried at first. I didn't want people to think I was some kind of a sot, you know, hanging out in bars all the time. But I do like bars. I like being in, like, a good old cool bar, you know. There's nothing like a good bar with a good jukebox, you know.
Yeah, that's home. And
it is. I just feel comfortable in them, I guess.
Was the movie Almost Famous, if you remember that one, where Cameron Crowe movie, Kate Hudson says, you know, and whenever you get lonely, you just head to the record store and hang out with all of your friends.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's sort of, it's a similar thing, definitely.
To just grab that jukebox, because you can't be with your friends. And I know that's how I connect. I mean, I had a flood, my house flooded years back, and I lost a huge chunk of my music collection. And someone said, well, that was, you know, you can stream it. And I said, no, I feel like I lost my friend. I feel like my friends actually died in that flood.
It's not, streaming is not the same thing. Yeah, you don't have the physical thing of holding an album. Yeah, it's not quite the same thing. So,
no, so I get that with the bars and with the jukebox.
And we'll be right back right after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Lucinda Williams.
So it's probably, you know, been asked before, but, you know, when you look back and thinking about, you know, the artist that might be on your dream jukebox, like, who was the artist that started it for you? Was it Dylan?
Yeah, I would have to say Dylan, because, well, I was 12 years old only, you know, in 1965. And, you know, my dad was teaching creative writing, and he published a few books of poetry. And a student of my dad's came over to the house. I was fortunate because I was able to get, you know, acquainted with a lot of the music that my dad's students were listening to that maybe I wouldn't have been exposed to otherwise. You know, they would have been like in their 20s and early 30s. So, you know, they would come over to the house to hang out with my dad. And they were, this one guy brought over a copy of Highway 61 Revisited one day. And it had just come out. He came and, see, this is what used to happen when a great new album would come out. People would get excited and talk about it. And you would get together with your friends. And it was like a ritual almost. You know, you'd listen to the album with people. Like when a new Beatles album came out, it was this huge deal. And we would all get together at someone's house and just sit and listen to it, you know, and then afterwards talk about it or whatever. It's like a celebration. So this guy came over to the house to visit with my dad, and he walks in the door and he goes, this is the new Bob Dylan album. It was Highway 61 Revisited. And I'd never even heard Bob Dylan up to that point. And he went in to visit with my dad in another room. And I grabbed the album and put it on the stereo and listened to it. And my little 12-year-old mind was blown. And I wasn't sure what all the songs were about, but it didn't matter because there was something about the sound that just pulled me in. Not to mention the album cover. You know, the photograph of Bob Dylan on that album just I was mesmerized. I was in love. I was, it, you know, I was bit by the Bob Dylan bug, you know. And from that moment on, you know, that I discovered Joan Baez and Leonard Cohen and all these other folk artists. That was what was going on at that time. And then later, the Doors and, you know, the Stones and Cream, and it all just, you know, just took over.
And eventually, I mean, you get to start meeting some of these heroes too, you know, as you become a musician. Did you find then that, like, so if Dylan was the artist that sort of ignited it, did you end up having someone that gave you guidance? Like, did you have that artist?
Well, I had, I don't know if it was anyone in particular, but I spent most of my time in the beginning just listening to record albums, listening to different artists. And I think I just, you know, just by osmosis or something, you know, learned over time about different things. Reading, you know, there were some great music magazines back then, and just doing a lot of reading and listening. I wasn't able to meet any of those people yet until I started performing and getting more well known, you know. And then I was fortunate enough to have been able to go do some shows with Bob Dylan, and this would have been, I guess, in the 80s maybe. Bob Dylan and Van Morrison opened some shows for them, and then later Tom Petty. I learned a lot from Tom Petty, just watching him, and I was able to get to know him a little bit more, you know. And I still have a hard time talking about him.
I've got I can't see it from the camera. I've got autographed Mud Crutch picture right next. Like, he was, I mean, those names that you're talking about, Tom and all of them. I mean, you know, they created the greatest music of all time.
Yeah.
And to be able to learn at their feet, I mean, I can't even imagine.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think there's something about Tom Petty and his music, not just his music, but him, you know, that I really connected with and related to. And we're both from the South, and it was weird. I was working on a song one day, and I realized I was writing a song that Tom Petty had already written, you know.
Which one was it?
That happens sometimes. I think it was one of his songs about going down south, and I don't know, it might have been Gainesville maybe, or it was something, it was the melody from that song, I think.
It's got to be a tricky thing for a songwriter when you know so much music, you know.
Yeah. And sometimes it just kind of leaks it through, you know, without you realizing it. But usually, it usually just comes out, for me, it usually is just more of an influence or inspiration. But every so often I'll think of a melody, or I think it's my melody, and then I realize, oh, no, I can't use this. This is, you know, whoever's melody, you know.
Although I would think with Tom, I mean, because we know Tom was also a big fan of your songwriting from covering Change the Locks on the She's the One soundtrack. And like, I feel like you could get away with, you know, kind of borrowing some of that, you know, melody. I think that's fine.
As long as it's not exactly the same.
Sure. But I don't think he would have been mad at you anyway. It's
No, he wouldn't have been mad. He would have just sued my ass. Probably. No. Tom was just so sweet. He's just such a down-to-earth, you know, like, this is an example of the kind of person he was. When I first went out to open shows for him, you know, it seems to me like he never forgot where he came from and what he came from and what it was like before he was famous, you know. And, you know, each night I would go out on stage and his audience they were great. They were pretty receptive for the most part, but sometimes some of the ones on the front row would kind of be, you know, they'd be kind of, the vibe was generally like, where's Tom? You know, we don't know who this girl is. We want to see Tom Petty. And I think somebody even threw a banana peel on stage one night or something. And I mean, his fans were just insanely fanatic about Tom Petty. And, you know, some of them were dressing like he did with the, you know, the top hat and the cool jackets and stuff. They show up at the concerts looking like Tom Petty almost, you know. And then so one night, Tom, he picked up on what was going on, you know, that some of his fans weren't paying enough attention to me and they were talking too much or whatever, you know. And he came one night, I went out on stage to get ready to start my set. And Tom walked out, he followed me on stage, went up to the microphone and said, "Hey, people, I want you to pay attention to this next artist because she's real good. And y'all pay attention and everything." And, you know, his fans are out there like, "Oh my God, Tom Petty's on stage introducing this artist." And then Tom walked backstage again. And, you know, that's what he did. He did that for me.
A beautiful endorsement. Right. Yeah.
You know, and, but that's the kind of person he was. You know, it makes me want to cry almost. And then my band and I opened up for him at his very last show at the Hollywood Bowl in LA. And I have a great photograph that somebody took of Tom and me backstage with our arms around each other. He's smiling and it's, yeah, that photograph is a treasure to me.
Oh, and as was the music. I have no doubt as I'm sitting here thinking about it and thinking about the guest list that's also on this album of yours, that if he would have been around, Tom would have probably been on this record as well.
Oh God, yeah.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Lucinda Williams. You know, as we talk about those artists, because you do have a lot of guests on here, is that just something that came naturally that you said this is going to be a guest record?
Well, I didn't say that ahead of time, but I've always enjoyed having guest artists come in and do stuff on my records. You know, I just think it adds more color to it. I think it makes it more interesting. I've just always enjoyed doing that. And, you know, a lot of times it has to do with the logistics of whether somebody's actually in that town we're recording or, you know, getting them there, getting in touch with them and if they're available and all that. But, you know, and I've been a guest on so many other artist albums, so I like to kind of repay the favor, you know. And Angela Olsen was really good on this. You know, she came and did some background vocals and just, it was real spontaneous, you know. I didn't tell her what to sing or anything. And, you know, she just ad-libbed and just did her thing. And it was real subtle, you know, but it really helps the song. And it's at the very, very end of the song, she does this kind of, kind of just humming thing. But it's great. It's just beautiful. It just really just nails it. And just, to me, just really captures the essence of the song.
Angel and Margot. I mean,
Margot is great. Yeah. Margot and her husband both came in.
Yeah, I love what they do. And of course, there's Bruce.
Yeah.
We cannot pass up because Bruce makes a few cameos here. So, you know, as we talk about Tom and we talk about Bob, what's your Bruce story? Where does he come into the equation of your rock and roll life?
So my husband, Tom, was always a big Bruce Springsteen fan. We started working on songs together, actually. And this other friend of ours, Jesse Mallon.
Mm-hmm. I know Jesse.
He's based in New York. Yeah.
Yeah, the mayor of St. Mark's.
Yes, yes. You know, yeah. Well, Jesse got a hold of Bruce. He's the one, which is no surprise if you know Jesse Mallon, you know, because he knows everybody, you know. But that's funny you said the mayor of St. Mark's Place, because that's what I've been telling people when I do interviews. I've been talking about the co-writing thing with the songs, and they all want to know how I got a hold of Bruce Springsteen, and I'll tell them all, Jesse Mallon and He's the unofficial mayor of the Lower East Side.
Yes, he is. Absolutely.
But anyway, we were just kind of all fantasizing about, you know, our dream guest artist on the album. And Tom Overby mentioned Bruce on a couple of these songs. And Jesse said, well, I can probably get a hold of him. I can get a hold of his people, you know. And lo and behold, he did. And Bruce said yes. And his wife, Patty, Bruce and Patty both. And they weren't able to get the studio with us at the same time, but we sent them the tracks and they went into their studio where they live in New Jersey and did these vocals, and they're great. I mean, every time, I'm still excited about it. Every time I hear the song when Bruce's voice comes out, I'm just like a little fanatical kid. I'm just, oh my God, listen to his voice. He's so sweet too.
You sound great together.
I know. We sound great together. That my brain is already tick, tick, tick. I'm thinking future projects, you know. Who knows? But anyway, when you hear him singing on this, I really feel like he got into the songs. Like, he's singing what he does on New York Comeback. It sounds like a song for him.
Yeah, I could have you all do quite a bit more. I mean, as a fan, I would love to hear.
Yeah.
More of this friendship blossom. That's what I need.
Yeah.
the song Rock and Roll Hearts, when I heard it, and especially when I started thinking of Jesse and New York and the Ramones, because I heard the Ramones in that track right there. And it didn't help that you actually say the word outsider, because they have, you know, a song called Outsider, and you just use that one word.
Oh, God.
But was that not part of it? Because I started thinking, like, is this a little send up to the Ramones? Because I love this. I don't mean it sounds like you ripped the Ramones, by the way. I just feel like a tribute kind of thing.
I'm glad to know that. No, I wasn't aware of it. I didn't know that about their song. But what is it, The Outsiders?
Well, they have a song called Outsider. It's not that you quoted it. You just used the word outsider. And I thought, oh, there's even a little bit more. It just kind of leans. And now what I think is you all are drawing from the same well is what it is.
Yes, we're drawing from the same well. And we also had, it's kind of funny. We had just been in Austin, Texas. And Travis Stevens, who's a friend and our tour manager, he had met and become friends with C. Thomas Howell, who was one of the actors in the movie The Outsiders. So we invited him out and we had dinner with him and everything. So now we're all about, you know, I've got to see the movie because I still hadn't seen it, and read the book. And I did that. So now we're all about The Outsiders. It's on everybody's minds because we've met this actor and we've seen the movie, and, you know, which is, of course, great and riveting, really, you know. And so that song started forming.
That's been in my world because he was just here. He's been touring, C. Thomas Howe, and he was just here in town as well. And I had Rob Lowe on the series not long ago, who is also in the movies. That's
wow.
Talking about this song, and that's, it's like, man, this The Outsider has been in my world already this
right?
year. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. And it's a great concept for a song. You know, it's a great idea because it hasn't died really, you know, since the formation of the story and the movie and all of that, you know, it's still relevant today.
I think those moments I also enjoy on this record, like This Is Not My City. Speaking of poignant moments, I'll just go more directly on this one. What are you singing about in that song?
Sorry, didn't come across. I feel like I failed.
Not at all. I don't want to put words in your mouth. That's
yeah,
all.
I know. I get it. I'm sorry. Well, it's just that, again, it's sort of that feeling of being an outsider in a way. You know, there's so many, you can interpret it different ways, but that's one that was a collaborative effort between Tom and Jesse and me. So I think initially Tom Overby came up with the idea of it. And we were talking about you know, the political arena. There's that, and just feeling like you're constantly, it's constant uphill battle, you know, that we've been fighting against. And it's not really about you necessarily don't like the town we're in, but it's just more about, you know, I can't relate, you know, to what's going on. Mm-hmm. And, or, you know, this person is out there representing the entire country, and he's not representing me, though.
As I say, living in Kentucky and Tennessee, like, I get exactly what you're getting at. Yes. Right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
We do deal with this.
So you feel like you're not being represented, or you're being misrepresented. Again, the outsider thing that kind of connects with that, too.
I love the levels that sort of comes back in. I mean, just from the political side, from even just, you know, as we talk about rock and roll and how it started, you know, if you were rock and roll, you were an outsider. You know, that was just part of the game. I mean, that's,
yeah.
I mean, stories from a rock and roll heart is stories from being an outsider.
All right. It's about being misunderstood and misrepresented. And most kids feel that way in general. You know, most teenagers feel that way. And we all went through that as teenagers. And music, for me, was definitely a salvation of sorts, you know. So that's really the main thread running through the album, I think, you know.
Finding that music to kind of take salvation in.
Yeah. And then there's Let's Get the Band Back Together, which is really about not necessarily getting the band back together, but people you've been out of touch with for a long time. And remember that song that Neil Young wrote about, I'm going to write a long letter to all my friends, you know?
Right, yeah.
Just, again, feeling disconnected from people you were close to before and you haven't seen them in so long. And, you know, how life gets in the way. You know, and that's what the song talks about is, you know, we would see each other sometimes at weddings and funerals and that sort of thing, you know.
It's a hell of an album. It really is.
Thanks.
And Stolen Moments, I didn't bring up that's Stolen Moments feels like an instant classic, like right away. Like, you know those songs. You know those songs that you're going to, like, I'm going to be listening to that song 20 years from now and I'm still going to feel the same way.
Wow. Well, that ended up being an ode to Tom Petty, because I was thinking about him a lot after his death, of trying to deal with his death, you know. Again, you know, it can be interpreted different ways. I like the songs to be able to be interpreted different ways for people. You know, everybody can, it can be something different for each person, maybe, you know. Because it doesn't have to be about Tom Petty, but it's mainly just about those feelings you get after you lose someone like that. You know, they pass away and then kind of feel their presence, though, sometimes, and that kind of thing, you know.
Well, it's absolutely great. And
thanks.
It just dawned on me, too. And I mean this, but in the coincidence of our conversation, two of my favorite rock songs of all time are Tom Petty's Honey Bee and Your Honey Bee.
Really? I didn't realize he had one called Honey Bee.
That was on the Big 94 record with You Wreck Me and yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It was one of his more obscure ones, I guess.
Yeah, it was an obscure track on the record, but it's a great rock song. And there's your homework. Go listen to Tom Petty's Honey Bee.
I'm going to look for it as soon as we get done. I'm going to go look for that song.
It's so good. Lucinda, I always have such a great time talking to you. Thank you
Thanks.
So much for taking
Me
the time.
Too. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. And I'll say the book, Don't Tell Anybody the Secrets I Told You, and this album, Stories from a Rock and Roll Heart. I'm such a fan. And thank you so much.
Thank you. The book, I was going to say, the book made is got to number 5 on the New York Times bestseller list.
So we just need to pump it up 5 more. Make that sucker number 1. No, but that's awesome. Congratulations. I mean, you've got a top 10 New York bestseller. That's amazing.
Yay. Uh-oh, what do I do now?
Yeah, right.
There's always part two. You know what? We're still waiting for Bob Dylan's Chronicles part two. So, you know, you're.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll ever get that one either. All right. Well, it was a pleasure talking to you. And then hopefully we'll see you around sometime soon.
Take care. You too.
And my thanks to Lucinda Williams. The new album is called Stories from a Rock and Roll Hearts. It's also got that biography out as well. And if you dig further into this podcast, you can find some of our earlier conversations. We've had a few throughout the years. In fact, I talked about a lot of her legendary records. That's deeper into the Kyle Meredith With podcast. Just search Kyle Meredith With Lucinda Williams, of course. Thanks to you for checking out this episode. Please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week. Again, it's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at all the usual places that include Spotify and Apple Podcast, at NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And after that, head over to WFPK.org. You see, that's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. Play lots of classic favorite songs. We, of course, have lots of new songs. There's music news. There's anniversary spins and bonus interviews. A recent episode I did included the music of Radiohead and Pinback, Mark Ronson, Case Choice, Grantley Buffalo, Urge Overkill, Clem Snide, Fountains of Wayne, The Palace Brothers, Gillian Welch, Dwight Yoakam, The Kinks, Aerosmith, Stevie Nicks, Annie Lennox. That's just an example of a recent show. Again, every weekday at 6 p.m. at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the old social media spots, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. All three of them, the address is at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
I like Louisville. It seems like a nice town.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.